May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves, demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Welcome to the Friday Shoot-Around, your K-State basketball show. Presented by Booth Creek Wagyu. Now let's go to the Flint Hills, home of GPC's Hidden Studio. Here's your host, Ryan Gilbert.
I am not Ryan Gilbert, and this is not the Hidden Studio. This is the Cats and Dogs Studio. Tim Fitzgerald filling in today, this week, and of course, Clint Stewart. We can do this show without Gills. Clint,
but we're gone, we
just canceled the thing. He's so replaceable. Kansas State coming off a tough loss at Iowa State, a game kind of filled with a little bit of controversy. I got some questions about that. I've got some questions for Clint coming up about where this team sits as they go to play fourth-ranked Houston on Saturday in a tough game. But first, I want to remind you that we are sponsored by Booth Creek Wagyu, our good friends here in Manhattan. They also have a location in Overland Park, but we love the Wagyu, as Brian Gilbert might say. Here's a little something from them.
From the tailgate to the back deck, remember to elevate your grilling this season with our friends from Booth Creek Wagyu. Their ranch is located just north of Manhattan and proudly raises authentic Wagyu beef from farm to table. Visit their retail locations in Manhattan and Overland Park or online at boothcreekwagyu.com.
Clint, that's an AI voice, and it, of all the things it struggled with, it could not get Overland Park. I don't know. Midwesterners, we don't say land. We don't say Lind. We just kind of say Overland. You know, it's all kind of like one thing.
It's all one, yeah. I'll tell you what, though. I like the digital advertisements there. That's a good app.
That AI voices now are getting freaky. I mean, that sounds like a legitimate voiceover talent. I feel sorry for voiceover talents. I don't feel sorry for them, but Kansas State suffers a setback at Iowa State in a really interesting game. Clint, they end up losing by 11. They started so dreadfully, trailed 12 at half. It turns out there's a Spygate element to this game that was interesting. But let's stick with the game right now. K-State came out and played scared. They just didn't look comfortable in that first half. What did you see from them in that?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, defensively, I don't think it was our best showing in the first half. You know, I think there's a lot of easy opportunities for Iowa State, which, you know, allowed them to shoot almost 50% in the first half, you know. But, it started off from the very, beginning of the game. Obviously, Cam Carter picking up two fouls set us back, you know, just from an offensive standpoint and a leader standpoint, got behind early and then had to fight back, you know. Obviously came out the second half and I thought we were locked in a lot more on the defensive effort, and obviously we made some shots to get us back in the game. And then unfortunately there down the stretch, you know, there are a few plays that I know we wish we had back, whether it's foul calls or even just offensively, that we wish we had back and could go and redo. So but I loved how we responded. You know, I think when we came out the second half, we responded to not playing well the first half, and then that's the effort and the energy that we need going forward.
Now, as a coach, I'm sure you've never trailed at halftime. What do you tell your team when they've played that way? They're on the road. They're down double digits at halftime. What's a coach's message?
Well, I think you evaluate kind of how that first half went. And, we didn't shoot the ball well in the first half was one of the things. Obviously, some turnovers early. And you played, a lot of the first half without our leading scorer. And so you're actually encouraged you're only down 10 or 11, at – at Iowa State, which you already know is a very hard place to play and hard place to win, you know? And so, you know, I think when you go on that second half, you're encouraged by, hey, you know, we're still right here, but we've got to clean up some things and we've got to come out a little bit better and jump on them from the very beginning, because those first 4 minutes are really important on whether the game could stretch to, you know, 15, 16, 17, or whether you can get back in it within that first 4 minutes. And so that's the message. And like, so I thought, I'm pretty sure it's what Tang preached to him, and it obviously worked.
I thought they were in for the blowout when Iowa State came out and scored the first 2 points, got it by 14, and thought, oh boy, it's just going to continue. But K-State did start scrapping back. Did you see any adjustments they made, or did they just start playing better?
Yeah, I think they started playing better. Started defending, and you got to get stops. You know, when you get stops, that allows us to get out one in transition, get some easy baskets, play a little bit faster. Now, when you're playing a team against Iowa State, you know, that's really good defensively, you don't want to go against a set defense every single time down. And so the ability to get out in transition a little bit, obviously make some shots, and just fuel the energy. You know, we brought a lot of energy there in the second half, and I thought that was a little bit of the difference. And, you know, settling in, you know, like I said, it's a tough place to play. You got to settle in. You know, they're more comfortable playing at home. And I thought once we settled in that second half, you know, our guys started to play more to their ability.
Yeah, it was quite an environment. 14,000 corn-fed screaming maniacs. It's an incredible environment at Hilton. It really is. And it did seem to affect K-State. Is there anything a coach can do to insulate his team in any way from that kind of hostile environment?
It's tough, and you could try to simulate it in practice. You can turn on noise and things of that nature, and you can talk to them about it. But until you're in that moment, you know, you really don't know what it is, you know. And so, you know, there's not a lot you can do. You just kind of have to learn on the fly, especially for a player that maybe has never been in that type of environment. You know, now once they have some experience, they understand, okay, this is what it's going to be like, and, you know, a little bit more prepared. But like I said, it's hard to simulate that until you're actually in it, you know, and the guys have to work through that. And then they say, okay, this is what coach was talking about. You know, all right, now let's settle in and figure out what we got to do to go win the basketball game.
You know, when Ryan Gilbert's typing up a story or something, I scream at him to try to get him used to the element so he can. Look, let's just cut to it. The turnovers for this team are a major problem. And I think K-State turned the ball over on their first three possessions at Iowa State. They had 17 again for the third straight game, coming off an 18 before that. So I can even do that math. They're averaging 17.25 turnovers over the last four. That is not sustainable. And how this team is 2-2 doing that in the Big 12 actually kind of impresses me. But if they don't clean up the turnovers, particularly Saturday, we'll get into that in the second half. But if they don't clean up these turnovers, this is going to unravel the team. I really believe that.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, turnovers are really key. And then as well as rebounding, you know, I think we've given up quite a few offensive rebounds the last two games, I think 10 against Oklahoma State and 13 against Iowa State. And so, you know, those turnovers are giving, one, we're losing a possession that we could obviously get a shot up.
Right.
And you're putting, you know, the opponent in a transition, potentially transition opportunity. And you couple that with giving them a second chance opportunity on the other end too, and whether that's to get fouled or score the basketball, it makes the game really tough. So we have to clean it up. You know, we need more shots at the rim, you know, and obviously with our guards, with Kaluma, I think he's starting to attack a little bit more, which is really good. You know, Cam Carter's been obviously playing well throughout the entire year, and Tyler's ability to shoot from a high percentage from the free throw line. You know, we have to attack, get fouled, try to get to the free throw line a little bit, and obviously cut down on those turnovers will help that. And as you mentioned, you know, going against Houston here on Saturday, they feed on turnovers. And so,
I do.
And it's a hard place. You know, going into Houston, they feed on turnovers. They're the number one scoring defense in all of NCAA basketball. And so we're going to have to value the ball.
Clint, this is kind of a weird question. Now, you're a high school coach, not an AAU coach, but it strikes me that some of these dudes just can't handle the ball the way I would expect guards to be able to handle it. Is this a function of AAU? Is this a function of just not enough structure where, you know, today we're going to work on skills and you may not be happy, but we're going to do that. It seems like just some basic skills are missing all across the college game. I'm not picking on anyone from Kansas State. The Marquise Noels that can really handle it just seem few and far between, and that didn't used to be the case.
Well, yeah, I think, it's a little bit of a function of kind of the change in the basketball culture, right, where a lot of things are, for the media, for the cameras, for the highlights, so to speak, and those basic fundamentals. You know, I think kids nowadays, a lot of times they just get bored with them, and you're trying to preach like, no, we need to work on, simple ball handling that. Yes. I know it seems like it's nothing, but the repetition and getting that, those drills are really important for long-term development, And so I'm even working, now with my kids, and my son who's five and my daughter who's 11. And in every practice, we start with ball handling, and I'm like, okay, we got 10, 15 minutes, no doubt, of ball handling, sometimes even more, because, it's a skill that I think for kids that they start to say, okay, I can dribble right, I can dribble left, I can cross over, which is good when no one's on you. But what happens when someone's on you and you haven't done it enough, to really be able to control the basketball and to be able to make a move and get around people. And so, it's something that, like I said, Kids think, hey, I can do it. But then when they get out there and it's crunch time or the pressure's on, it's a little bit different, in the game. And they just need more reps doing it, and really be confident and understand that sometimes those reps, and it seems like, oh, this is boring, this is not, it's very useful. Even the best players in the world, you watch Steph Curry, when he warms up, the first thing he does, he gets two basketballs and he's literally doing two basketball drills that, some kids would say, oh, this is simple, I can do this all day. Well, if Steph Curry's doing it before a game, I guarantee, everyone else in the world should be doing it a little bit more often as well.
Yeah, sometimes the things you need to work on the most are the most boring. Right. And this team does struggle with just, some basic ball handling. Again, a function of not having a veteran point guard out there and just having a couple off guards try to handle the ball. And it's easy to focus on Tyler Perry because he's designated the point guard. But Cam Carter has got to cut down on these turnovers. And then he gets into the silly fouls on the Wednesday night at Iowa State. Look, you're too valuable. How hard is it to communicate that to some kids? You're too valuable to do silly things that put you on the bench.
Oh, yeah. And his first foul that he had, he's contesting a lob dunk. Okay. I get it. That's great. You're in transition. Go contest the lob dunk. Okay, that's good. The second one he had, I think Gilbert kind of got up underneath him and maybe kind of reached when he got the ball. And then, Cam Carter said, okay, let me get him off me. And literally, it's an easy call for a ref on the push off, and those are the ones you can't have. You can't allow, the defensive player to kind of get underneath you or kind of get in your head and where you think you have to retaliate a little bit, and get just a cheap foul, and same thing with his third foul. He's in transition, and I think Gilbert for Iowa State was literally standing on the block like the Statue of Liberty for 3 or 4 seconds before Cam Carter, ran him over for a charge, and then those, like, you can't have those. There's opportunities for him to stop and shoot the floater or even penetration and kick, and he has to be careful and aware of those potential or those opportunities within the basketball game and like what's smart and what's not. And we need him on the floor. We need him to score the basketball, and we can't allow him to get in those type of situations where he puts himself where, hey, coach has to put him on. We have to put you on the bench, because you're in foul trouble now. And so, he's a valuable, too valuable player for us to not have him on the floor. And so he has to be more conscious of, making sure that he's doing the right things that doesn't put him in a situation that compromises the team.
Iowa State's Gilbert, like our own Gilbert, gets into your head. And, you start listing off these fouls by him. His last foul, I believe it was, or second last foul, he just got, he got rattled by him and just kind of gave him a forearm shiver again. He had a lot of fouls that could be avoided now that we talk about it. And, dude, the team needs you on the court, because when you're on the court, they were pretty good. They hung out with Iowa State. When he wasn't, they were in trouble.
Yeah. And like I said, you have to know going into a game like that against Iowa State on their home floor, the player that Gilbert is for Iowa State, and what he can do defensively, and he's going to try to get, going into the game, all right, I'm sure their coaches told him, hey, he's going to get underneath you. He's going to try to get in your head, try to get in your seat. Like, you got to know going in, okay, I have to make sure that I am locked in to the game plan, locked in, not doing something silly, because that's what they want me to do, right? And so I'm just got to play smarter, for Cam Carter, has to play smarter so he stays on the floor and obviously gives us the best opportunity to go win.
Absolutely. Tyler Perry hit back-to-back three-pointers, and it fueled a surge for K-State in that second half in which they closed the gap. They never got ahead, which was kind of interesting. It's funny how a tie turns into a barrier at times. When you've been coming back, right. I can't get there. They kept hitting that barrier. It could get over it. Credit to Iowa State on that. But again, watching him hit those shots, and this is a kid who hit a lot of shots at his prior destination, his prior home, and it just hits me that if he ever does settle in this season, which the season's running out, but if he does settle in, this K-State team could be really good, because you could just see the old team like, Tyler hit a shot, Tyler hit the shot. Yeah. And then everything just kind of fell in place for a period until they stopped hitting the shots.
Yeah. And Tyler's obviously a big key to our offense and to our team, obviously making shots. I think he's also distributing the basketball, and in the last two games, he's gotten five assists a game. But we need him scoring as well, and we need him, not only creating for others or creating for himself and getting to the free throw line. We're going to need him making some outside shots. He doesn't get a lot of clean looks. I think a lot of them are really highly contested, and some of them, he probably has to force up, or he does force up. So I think we got to figure out a way to just get him some more clean looks, and hopefully he settles in to that. But you also got to know, like I said, this is part of the transition for him, coming from a team at North Texas that played one of the slowest paced, offenses in the league, and kind of methodical, and then coming to K-State, and I'm sure, Coach Perry and Coach Tang are telling him, as Coach Tang has mentioned, I believe he's the best shooter in America, right? So he's pumping the confidence in him, which is really good, but it's also saying, hey, we want you shooting, and coming at a different pace in the game of, the shots that he's getting and how he's getting them is a lot different than what he was getting last year. I think there's some shots where he's like, okay, they want me shooting it, I just got to shoot it, and it's not, I'm shooting it because, I'm open, or I'm shooting it because this is a great shot, and so he has to balance some of that, I think, throughout the rest of the season. And then hopefully that'll help his percentages also go up as he just kind of balances which shots are good and where he's getting them at, and how we can help, get him open and more opportunities in shooting the basketball.
Yeah, if they get him to settle in, it could take this team to a different gear. It's an amazing thing, Coach. When your team shoots it well, you're pretty smart. And when they don't, you got to work awfully hard to keep them in it. And Jerome Tang at times has had to work awfully hard. That's it for the first half of this week's Shoot Around. No Ryan Gilbert this week. I'm Fitz. I'm sitting in for him. We'll be right back with Clint Stewart and more of his insights on Kansas State basketball. K-State is in Houston. They're ready to play the Cougars on Saturday morning, a late-night game Wednesday night in Ames, followed by an 11 a.m. game in Houston. We'll test this team, but Houston themselves, the Cougars, will test the Wildcats plenty. We'll get into that. And, of course, we'll talk about Spygate a little bit. Was Iowa State spying on K-State huddles, and what's that even mean? We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am ready.
Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Welcome back to the show. Let's head back to the studio.
From the tailgate to the back deck, remember to elevate your grilling this season with our friends from Booth Creek Wagyu. Their ranch is located just north of Manhattan and proudly raises authentic Wagyu beef from farm to table. Visit their retail locations in Manhattan and Overland Park, or online at boothcreekwagyu.com.
We're back on the Shoot Around, and Clint, let's get into Spygate first. Kansas State, none of us could figure out what Jerome Tang was so upset about, because I honestly had never seen him that kind of worked up over something off the court, and I really hadn't seen him that worked up at officials before. He was so mad he went down to Otz, the Iowa State coach, and kind of talked to him, but yelled at him a little bit, I think. But it turned out they they think they caught Iowa State spying on their huddles and communicating information to the bench via text. I'm not sure how they, you know, determine that. I'm not sure they knew where they thought they the guys were doing it from. But I'm just going to be blunt. Is this even possible? That those huddles, what can you learn from that? I don't even understand. I mean, everyone sends a manager out to see who the next five players are going to be on the floor for the opposing team. That's a given. But having a high angle looking down into a huddle, can you really see anything? And is there much that useful out of it?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting, interesting thing kind of going on there. You know, when you come to the huddle, and as a coach, a lot of the conversation is obviously, you know, what are you currently doing? Or what just happened in the last few possessions of the game? And what do you have to do better as they leave that huddle? Now, if there's any plays that are drawn up because, you know, you're trying to get an easy basket, you know, then obviously that's really important, but for someone to be able to spy that and be able to communicate that and then communicate out to the floor, I mean, there's not enough time to do that, right? I mean, it's so I don't know, you know, if there's much that can come from it, but obviously, you know, it's something that, you know, at the NCAA level, really at any level, right? I mean, you shouldn't have anyone spying on huddles or something of that nature. I think the more concerning thing to me would be, you know, obviously if there was someone in practice, right? You know, spying on a practice or something like that. We're talking about game strategy and how you're going to guard certain guys, you know, because then that can be communicated before the game and obviously give an advantage to the other team. So, you know, I think for Tang, he was obviously upset because, you know, you shouldn't be, there's no one that should be spying on a huddle or trying to communicate any information at any level. You know, and so I think that's probably where he was upset, but I don't know if it really gave Iowa State any advantage or anything.
I agree with you. I've heard of it happening with, you know, shoot arounds, and nobody's spying on this show, but the actual shoot arounds, I've heard it happening, you know, because every arena has security cameras. So they're already wired up for security. And I guess some coaches probably can't resist the temptation of peeking at those to see what sets they're working on. I think Kansas State's stance is we saw it. We told Iowa State about it. We expect them to address it. I'm sure they've communicated to the Big 12. This is what we think we saw, da-da-da. But Jerome Tang, to his credit, after the game didn't want to discuss it. He wanted to credit Iowa State. And now he doesn't really want to discuss it anymore. He wants to move on and focus on Houston, and that's one of the things that's made him successful. No distractions. If the players see your coach worrying about something off the floor like that, it can derail a team, can't it?
Oh yeah, definitely can. You know, and that's why he preaches the you know, what's next and want to know. You know, and it's not just a you know, forget about, you know, the previous day or the previous game, but it's, you know, what's ahead of us and how do we prepare for what's ahead of us so we can go out and play to the best of our ability and obviously give ourselves the best chance to win the basketball game. And so, you know, he addresses things right there in the moment. And then after he addresses them, he's all right, now what's next, you know? And when you have a coach that obviously has that kind of mentality as a player, and it really helps you flip that switch and say, all right, yep. This happened to us. That's cool. Now what's next? We got to go respond to, and you know, for the next game and be ready to go out and try to go win the next opportunity that's out there. So I know the players enjoy having that kind of mindset, and it's great to have a leader that has that.
Kansas State left Ames. They actually spent the night Ames, Des Moines. I'm not sure where they were staying, but, and then flew directly down to Houston on Thursday as they're just out on the road on a road trip. And now they get an 11 a.m. game in an arena in which they've never played, against a team that is really damn good. I don't know how else to put it. And you alluded to this earlier. I look at Houston style, and you played for him. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Hugs. I mean, they really want to defend you. They want to cut down on possessions. But, you know, this is a lot of Frank Martin too. Put the ball up on the rim, and let's go get a rebound. I mean, maybe there's almost a lesson for K-State to stop running half court offense and try to go get rebounds because you're turning the damn ball over. K-State's two weaknesses are turning the ball over and closing out possessions with rebounds. What does Houston do best, Glenn Stewart? They turn you over and get offensive rebounds and score. Brother, this is a miserable matchup.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, especially on the road, you know, where Houston's 11-0 at home. They play well anywhere, but obviously they play even better at home. And the number one scoring defense, average giving up only about 52 points per game, and it's not even close. I mean, the next team is St. Mary's at I think 57, and so that's a 5-point margin differential there. You know, they're currently number one in scoring differential, outscoring their opponents by 22 points per game. So it's going to be a really tough matchup for us. Like I said, we're going to have to take care of the basketball. You know, possessions are going to be so critical. We're going to have to make some shots from the outside. You know, it's a game where Houston does a really good job contesting outside shots. I think their opponents are only shooting 28%. So from three, we're going to have to make more than 28%. We're going to have to make some shots and get those to fall. And then we're going to have to defend on the other end. And I think they will, the way they play will allow us to have the opportunity to defend. But we're going to have to be locked in and keeping LJ Cryer. I mean, Tang knows all about him. Got to keep him under control, and their other guards as well. So it's a tough matchup, but it's also one, I think, for Kansas State. This will kind of show us where we're at. You know, I mean, this is right here. Houston's, you know, they've been kind of cream of the crop the last few years. Obviously, Kelvin Sampson's been doing a really good job there, and they've, you know, been to Final Fours and Elite Eights and things. So it'll show us where we're at this point in the season.
How important is Houston's presence in this conference and its overall maybe value, but also adding another element into, an ecosystem in which Kansas has been the biggest, baddest predator out there. And now all of a sudden you just dropped a T-Rex into the area, or a giant cougar. And I think it's really good for Big 12 basketball. And I think it just raises the stakes even more.
Yeah, it does. You must watch Jurassic Park or something with the T-Rex reference.
I have no idea where that came from.
But I think you're right. I mean, it drops just another top five, top three team in the nation. I mean, it's obviously a great team, and then the way Coach Sampson coaches them and has them playing. I mean, they play so hard. Every single possession matters. And so it drops a dynamic team and into the mix, into the Big 12, in a league that, I believe, has been, the best basketball league in over the last, several years. And so it's going to be a tough matchup, night in, night out. But it makes it fun. I mean, this is why you play the game. You want to play the best teams, and you want to have the opportunity to try to prove yourself against those best teams. And it's very competitive, and that's why you play the game. So it should be fun.
Is this conference too competitive? I mean, you're just beating the snot out of each other night in and night out. And this stretch Kansas State's on, 6 out of 7 opponents are going to be ranked. The one that isn't ranked, you got to go to Stillwater, which you've been there. It's not fun. It's, even when they're struggling, it can be a tough place to play. But and next year you add Arizona. I mean, come on, man. What's going on here? As a coach, look, every coach tries to focus on the game in front of them. And, Tang's pretty good at that. But how do you not at some point just feel it all kind of coming down around you that, hey, by the way, we got to play at Houston after what we went through at Iowa State. And then we got to come and play Oklahoma. I said, dude, it's crazy.
Yeah. There's no easy nights, And so, even as a coach, there's not like, we can take tonight off. It's going to, we can show up and we're going to win. I mean, there's no show up and win. You have to go get every single game. I think what you'll see, from a Big 12 standpoint is it'll probably be important, non-conference wise, as the years continue to go, that you schedule some of those easy games, just your team can kind of figure out, all right, what is it that we do well? What do we need to work on? Let's work on it during this game. Because once you get in the conference, it's just, you have to be locked in to execution every single night, and there's no time to, all right, let's figure out, what we need to work on. No, we need to be doing it well if we have a chance to win. And so it's back to back to back to back. There's nothing easy. Like I said, even going to Stillwater, it's not an easy place to play or an easy win. And obviously they came up to Manhattan and gave us a run for our money. So, we have to be locked in that game as well. So, from a player standpoint, like I said, you want to play the best, you want to beat the best. And then from a recruiting standpoint, it's great because now you can go out and get kids and you can let them know, hey, you know, every night we're on ESPN, we're on ESPN Plus, we're on ABC, we're playing against top competition every single night, you know, and so you want the highlights, go get the highlights against top competition every single night.
Well, this is a huge opportunity for K-State. It's not just the fourth ranked team on their home court. This baby's on ESPN. John Shombe's got the call. I mean, this is the game they're kind of highlighting on Saturday. And as much as I don't like the matchup for K-State, it is a big opportunity. But let's get back to that troubling, closing out possessions with rebounds. You've got Will McNair, David Gasan, and Arthur Kaluma as your front line. And plus Perry and Carter are good rebounding guards. I can't figure out why this team's having problems with this, why this has been exposed a few times. As a coach, what do you tell your team? Is this all effort? I know there's fundamentals of blocking out and stuff, but go get the damn ball, man. Let's close out this possession.
Yeah, it's important. You know, and you look at our last game, Finister, Dorian led us in reboundings with six, you know, and which is great. We need him and his athleticism to get in and get rebounds, but we need more from Gasan and obviously Kaluma and McNair and our bigger guys of blocking out and rebounding or clearing it out so the guards can go in and get it. You know, what are the two? We have to finish possessions. You know, we can't get out rebound. We can't give up 13 offensive rebounds because offensive rebounds really can deflate a team. You know, you can play great defense, and I think Tang even mentioned this, as far as playing, you know, great first shot defense and you know, giving all of your effort, but then you don't get a block out and they get an offensive rebound. And whether it might be an offensive rebound put back, obviously their scoring opportunity, or an offensive rebound, and now you got to play another defense for 15, 20 seconds. I mean, it's tough, you know, and so got to close out possessions. You know, we have to block out and rebound. I think, you know, there's no doubt that, you know, Coach Tang and staff and the team, they're working on it. You know, they just got to execute it better in game. And, you know, I think early on in the year, we were doing a lot better job of that and getting some offense rebounds ourselves. And so we just got to translate that now to the Big 12.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm a guy that tries to search for a positive. And when you've got some glaring weaknesses and you're going up a team like this, maybe this will straighten it out when you have to pay so much attention to the turnovers and the giving up offensive rebounds in a game. Maybe this will. Clint, how is this team 4-2 in the conference with some of these stats we're talking about? They have visible warts. They don't have a true point guard. They're not shooting the ball as well as you think they would. Is it just that their defense has been that good?
Yeah, I think defensively, you know, we've been playing really well. And then we've had some guys step up in some key moments, you know, and we talk about down the stretch, the last 5 minutes of the games. You know, we've had some key guys step up in multiple, you know, different games. And so that's been really important for us, but finding a way, you know, I think a big part of the game is the confidence you have in yourself, confidence you have in your teammates, and the belief that you can go win the basketball game, no matter what the score is, no matter how much time is left in the game. And obviously Coach Tang instills that in all the guys. And so there's a tremendous amount of belief that the guys have. And when you have guys that have belief and play with confidence, it tends to raise their level of play, you know? And so I think we've seen some of that in certain moments, especially towards the end of basketball games and in overtime. And one reason why, you know, Tang is 10-0 in overtime, I mean, the confidence our guys play with and that, in those situations, I think is really important. But as we know, things can change overnight, you know? And so, we just have to be careful because, you know, when you're playing with fire and you see some of the weaknesses that we know we have to clean up when it comes to turnovers, it comes to offensive rebounding, you have to get them cleaned up or it could quickly change. And all of a sudden we could be, you know, talking in 2 weeks about, well, how do we lose, you know, the last three or four games? Right. And so, hopefully we can get those things cleaned up and continue to push forward. And like I said, it's a big stretch, you know, a lot of games that are going to be really tough, and it's a big stretch for us to do some good things.
He's a former Kansas State point guard. He's Clint Stewart, and he's one of our basketball analysts here at Go Power Cat. And he actually likes Ryan Gilbert. Nobody can explain it because nobody else likes him, but maybe because Clint really hasn't been around him that much. Clint, I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me fill in, man. This was fun because I always like an opportunity to bust on Gilbert.
Yeah, I love it. I appreciate you always having me.
That's it for this week's Shoot Around. Gilbert will be back next week in theory.
I'll be filling in also today on the Big 12 Insiders. Brian Hanley's out of pocket. I'm the fill-in guy, but this was a lot of fun. We will talk to you next week.
This has been a GoPowerCat.com and Spirit Street production. Please support this show by subscribing to this YouTube channel or follow us on your favorite podcast platform.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.